Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 187th episode of the Mod State Podcast.
Is that what it is?
187, yeah, I checked. I thought it was. Man, we definitely slowed down volume when we got to, was it 100?
Yeah, it was the century mark. We slowed it down, but I think that was a good thing.
Yeah, I think overall.
Not because we don't want to do this more.
No, but I think the overall episodes have been more thoughtful. And I think, you know, we'll hit 200 pretty quickly. We're approaching 190. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. As we were talking, I think life is as life is sometimes, and it is what it is, and we're trucking along and happy to be doing this. I am thankful that there is a little bit of like 2020 momentum, and not that it
is that what you call that?
What's that?
Is that what you call that?
Yeah, to be honest, I think,
all right, qualify that statement.
I'm happy for 2020 momentum because life is crazy. And there, I remember the post, I'm trying to think, it was after the, so it was like right around January, or was it November into December? We took a little hiatus.
Yeah, it was Thanksgiving.
And it was like, dude, what the hell do we talk about? Like, it seemed like any topic.
Let's not do that again.
Yeah, it seemed like any topic that we approached, it didn't carry the same weight or interest as everything leading up to the election. And not that we should ever just talk about the election or talk about, just Democrats and Republicans. That's not the case, but it was like a huge letdown in a way. And I don't mean letdown in like I was bummed out, but just a letdown in terms of the news cycle. And
it's draining.
I remember right around November just being exhausted, and just like, I think the whole Mueller was still sort of well, it wasn't heating up, it was continuing, and
leggings.
Yeah, and then the election happened, and then there was that lag time, sort of that lame duck period, and it was like, okay, well, you know, we could do one podcast after another on assumptions, or we could turn our focus to geopolitics somewhere in the world. But I'm like, dude, it seems so boring compared to what we've been doing, even though it might have been useful to do some of that. And now it seems, you know, it just cycles, right? Like, now there's just this massive issue going on in Venezuela right now, and which I think we don't, I think, bless you. It seems like there's less, I think it's fairly historical what's going on there. And I don't think we're giving it enough weight. I guess it kind of depends on how it all pans out, but
I'm sorry, where I think I sneezed over that.
Oh, Caracas, Venezuela.
Yes. Well, no, that's just pandemonium down there. You got all this intrigue with Cuba's getting dragged into this.
Yeah,
it's basically boiled into an economic proxy war between the U.S. and Russia. It's like the 60s and 70s all over again.
It's weird, and it just has to go. It couldn't be more perfectly aligned with the sort of like socialism, communist saga. We just don't ever get away from that. And Cuban influence, and there's a lot of right-wing conservative podcasts that have a lot of these quote unquote Latin experts that certainly probably know far more than I do. It's not my area of expertise. However,
you know more about conspiracy than you
but
do.
But dude, I'm just listening to these guys like, holy shit. Like, are we really going to these? I'm just waiting for the aliens. But anyway, before we launch into this one, as always, we've had increased traffic, at least by our estimates in some of the places that we look. We certainly appreciate that. So keep sending your comments. The back and forth comments are pretty hilarious, but you know, as always, reach out to us.
And, no, I haven't seen the latest.
They're always good.
There's a lot of profanity.
Yeah, there is. There is. Seems to be.
It upsets me.
Yeah, it doesn't. upset me at all.
No, I'm just kidding. I watched this film called In the Electric Mist, which I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's set down in the Gino, the Greater New Orleans area. You know, John Goodman plays a gangster. Tommy Lee Jones plays a NOPD detective. And it struck me because John Goodman's accent, I mean, he's lived here long enough, but I mean, he sounded like a New Orleanian, not like the redneck that a lot of Hollywood movies. I hate hearing Southern accents in New Orleans. It's like, all right, get out of here. But yeah, he says that at one point this guy thinks his daughter's been kidnapped, and John Goodman's character says, no, I don't like hearing things like that. It upsets me. Does it?
Does it?
You're a monster, really? But all right.
Well, as always.
You should check it out.
I will, actually. I like John Goodman.
It's on Amazon. Yeah, he's living in uptown New Orleans and staying dry. Good for him.
Jeez. Well, yeah, good for him. As always, folks, head over to modstate.com. I believe that there will be some op-ed pieces being posted.
Yeah, we're dragging our feet, but it's the high price of our own little it's not our own little private Idaho, it's our own little private proxy war, you know.
Gotcha. Well, you know, there seems to be, as we'll talk tonight, there's quite a bit of what we have been talking about is to be determined. And I think by dragging out doing some of our episodes on specific topics have worked out to us or to our advantage, only because we've got more facts and we can collect our thoughts. And naturally, I found, and at least it's a character flaw that I'm working on, but I have these very, as I said before, like visceral gut reactions to things. And I've always tried to pride myself on not being that guy. So I think doing this podcast and collecting my thoughts and not jumping the gun and immediately talking about something has been fairly helpful for us. But
we had a lot of practice doing that early on in our military careers, though. My old man hit on something there when he said, you know, remember when we first started this? It was like, I feel like we've been doing this longer. And I said that to my dad, and he said, we all were doing it.
Yeah.
But that's
true.
Poor man's salon.
Poor man's.
We swear not to use that name.
poor man's salon. They'd be those chewing tobacco 10-minute breaks from the pandemonium of the inpatient floors there.
Lewis.
Gosh. So, well.
All the eye candy up here, and I can't stop thinking about Wanda.
Wanda. All right. It's a lot of inside jokes. All right.
Did that.
So, what are we talking?
There was eye candy, though. That's not a joke.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm a married man now.
So. We're there. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. I was there.
Yeah. You were there. Yeah. you were the eye candy. I forgot.
What I meant, but okay.
I think I catch what you're laying down, my friend.
All right.
Anyway, O to be 22. So, or 24, whatever, however old we were.
Gross. It feels like eons ago.
It does. Now, actually, my mom sent me a video, just to complete tangent, sent me a Facebook message of my commissioning ceremony, which would literally have been 1 year ago. Yeah. 1 year ago, or excuse me, one day ago, it had been 10 years, like a decade.
Oh, God.
Holy crap. I mean, I was happy she sent it, but I started doing the math. I'm like, holy shit. Well, no, it wasn't 10 years ago. It was nine years ago.
We met next month will be 8 years ago.
Yeah. 8 years. Cause it was 1 year after that I was my first duty. Well, second duty station there at Bethesda. So
well, that's right. I started out in Chicago. You started out in Detroit City.
Yeah. So, here's to almost a decade, my friend,
man.
Jesus. Well, we maintain friendship, so I think we're on to something.
Yeah.
So that was a good. I'm sure we've got the people still listening. So
well, it's got us. I left Chicago. You left Detroit, and we ended up in Bethesda, which is not very far from where tonight's shitstorm occurred.
Yeah. In fact, we were working miles from where this happened, and I mean that in relatively close terms. So
the empty chair, fried chicken,
and a chicken figurine.
This is all real, folks.
Yes. If the first person to write a comment, I'm going to it's really not fair because it happened pretty, it'll be you know, by the time this posts, it'll have been a minute. But
I challenge you
to go ahead and look up what we're talking about. And the first person that writes a comment, I'll put together a little swag bag and see if I can send it your way. Unless you're in some corner of the world where I can't get it to you. But however, yes.
If you're in Syria or North Korea, we cannot help you.
Fried chicken. And I'll also be impressed that you're listening to this. But yeah, so what is the three words? Fried chicken, a chicken figurine.
And the empty chair.
And the empty chair. Well.
That's the three tenets, the three bullet points. And see, that sounds like something, believe it or not, I think I told this story before, but before William Wentzer became governor of Mississippi in the 80s, who's one of the last true Democrats to hold the governorship, this is true. When he first took over, okay, the House of Representatives and the Senate in Mississippi, in the state capitol, there were pages that when the reps or senators would hold up their hand, would sling a piece of fried chicken across the chamber to them.
What?
Okay. Embarrassing, right? True story. All right. So you fast forward to today. This is the U.S. Capitol. This is our Congress at work or not working. But
Well, I mean, technically the AG wasn't working, but...
I mean, he wasn't sitting in that chair.
Slinging fried chicken? That reminds me of the... do they have is it just in Texas? Maybe it's a chain, maybe it's not, but they throw the freshly made rolls.
Oh, the throat rolls at Lambert's? Yeah, that's how they pronounce it, is throat rolls.
Throat rolls at Lambert's. Yeah, that's a Southern thing.
Well, you know, our Louisiana legislation has been busy. It just left a committee in Louisiana Senate to make the I-10 corridor through from when you enter in Texas and from Mississippi now. They want to rename that the Houdat Highway. I'm like, I'm glad you all have something to do. You know, let's not focus on mass incarceration and decriminalizing pot. Let's rename I-10 for the locals.
So literally like Slidell into
Texas.
And in Texas, so.
Through to those borders between Mississippi and Texas, through Louisiana. I mean, it's still going to be I-10, but you know how areas, we're going to rename this to make people feel better. Well, as if everybody to know that people in South Louisiana are Saints fans.
Yeah, from the casual tourist driving through southern Louisiana, Mississippi, and East Texas, like, what the hell are you doing there?
That's going to be welcome to Houdat Nation. I shit you not. You can't make this up.
All right. Well, that's not the worst thing that could have happened.
No, it's not the worst Louisiana has done.
That's true. Well, so who are we talking about? I'm about to give it away. But we are talking about none other than the Trump-appointed AG, William Barr. Who, and for those of you internationally listening, second stint. The attorney general would be the top lawyer in the land. So not unlike the FBI, which would be the top cop in the land. This is the top lawyer.
It's working for a living.
And man, the last couple of days have been, I feel like we've really had to dig deep into our Constitution to figure out like what the right move is here, or what the there's a lot of things brought up, like the ethics committee and recusals ethics. So let's start.
Oh, man, in a colloquial sense, they've been doing the Constitution.
Yeah. So let's start Wednesday, and you and I had a bit of a, I don't want to say disagreement.
We disagree,
but
it's not a huge one.
No, but at the end of the day, here's what I'll caveat this entire thing with. At the end of the day, our disagreements probably matter very little in terms of outcomes. I think we already know the outcome. Even if they get the unredacted version, I don't think Congress is going to do much. But we'll get into that. So what happened?
Oh, there's the fourth chair too.
What's that?
Lindsey Graham dropping the F-bomb.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Lindsey Graham. Yes.
So William Barr did go before the Senate, and he went before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and you can splice the sound bites anyway. You can watch Fox News and see that the guy did a pretty good job, or you could go to HuffPo and just see the Kamala Harris exchange in which he sounded like a moron. But overall, I think he deflected fairly well.
He's a master hair splitter.
Yeah, but you know what? He's a lawyer.
That's his job.
That's his job. That's exactly his job. And
I texted you this today, and whether anybody likes this or not, just as he's not supposed to be the personal lawyer for President Trump as the attorney general, he's also not supposed to be the lead lawyer for the resistance.
Yes.
That door swings both ways.
He does. And whether, look, and correct me, or not correct me, but disagree with me, if you will, it does appear as it is. He was appointed by the President of the United States during a time when he was under investigation. This is a gentleman who seems to, William Barr, who seems to like executive privilege, and was a little controversial anyway, leading into his nomination. So
right, unsolicited memo that he sent last year.
Yeah, it's not crazy that the resistance or people that oppose Donald Trump would suggest that he seems to be almost working for the president. I'm not saying he is, and he shouldn't be. His job title is not that. However, it seems that this individual was strategically placed there to do something, and this is exactly what he's done during these.
Well, he's following up an attorney general who couldn't recall shit.
he's done well on both, I should say.
I mean, Jeff Sessions should have never had that job.
No, he should absolutely never have had that job. Now, I will say that there were a couple issues that I kind of ran into, and I won't lie.
Please don't.
I won't. There's a couple things in the timeline here that sort of bother me. Okay, and please elucidate for me. But if I was not digging deep into this, and I know you read the entire thing, the problems that I have is that it took, bear with me here.
Mueller report?
Well, yeah, just bear with
okay,
me
as okay, I come first. I thought you meant I was going to say, I didn't read his whole testimony.
No. That, yes, Robert, or Bob Mueller.
he kept calling him Bob.
Yeah, I know. Went ahead and took 2 years to do this, wrote up a memo, or excuse me, an entire report. And it was clear, I think, that he did not want to have the power bestowed on him to say whether he should charge or not charge the president. He felt like that is quite a big undertaking that I think humbly in his case, he said that he didn't want that authority. So
he made two points. One, that he didn't know because the Justice Department rules if he felt he could indict the president. That's bucket A. Bucket B was, and this is fair, he said the president would not be able to rebut as he would in open court. Mm-hmm. That's what fed into, and Barr, I feel, made a fair point here. He said, well, my question is, if he didn't feel compelled to say one way or the other, why do you keep digging up further and further points to add to these 10 points of possible obstruction to then only say, well, we don't have enough? And I saw that.
So what you're saying is, it's like, well, so what's the point here?
That was what he's saying. I didn't say that.
No, exactly. That's exactly. I'm just clarifying what he said, William Barr. And okay. So Robert Bob Mueller presents this report, and he's like, I want to leave it to someone else. Maybe that's Congress or the AG, but here's the evidence. And now it takes Barr, William Barr, the new AG, the Attorney General, it takes him half a weekend to present a 4-page letter that says he's good. And he also, you know, does a press conference before releasing the memo to say he's good. Now,
I'm not sure what he did wrong.
I'm not saying, excuse me. He hasn't done anything wrong. However, there was, and look, these committees are, you can almost predict them, like you can predict what a social conservative stands for, right? And this is the way it works in these committees. Here goes.
Well, half of them are running for frickin' president, so it's show trial to begin
exactly.
with.
Exactly. So it seems that. Whether
it's a kangaroo court.
Whether you think it's it's effective or not, or it doesn't matter. You certainly have Democrats that are asking fairly hard questions, and you've got Republicans who are basically just buying time, if not wasting. Yeah,
foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, foaming at the mouth and dropping F-bombs.
Because of anger, that is, the foam.
Yes, exactly. Oh, God. So, I'm moving on. boy, you lost.
He was finding presents, huh?
Lost my train of thought there.
No, you're talking about the kangaroo court that we saw. The Republicans, we know what they were going to do. Somehow, Obama and Clinton got dragged into it. And you got Democrats, you got a couple of them running for president.
Yeah, trying to make their point. Exactly. I'm sorry. I just have so many awful, anyway.
European bathhouses come to mind?
Bro, man, I've got horrible images in my head right now. Okay, so... So case in point comes to Kamala Harris. Regardless of whether or not she is running for president or not, she is a seasoned prosecutor. And under cross-examination, it would suck to be answering questions to a seasoned prosecutor. And I don't think that her questions were that out of line or really meant to catch anybody up. Like, she really asked the question. She said, "Did you look at any of the underlying evidence?" And he, yes or no. And his ultimate answer was no, I didn't look at any of the underlying evidence. It sort of solidified the fact. And this is where I don't know as much about this.
I just kind of thought that was Robert Mueller's job.
Yeah. I think part of the issue is that congressional Democrats have, is that let me take this back. So I guess her question was, so he gave you the power to charge the president, essentially. And so you didn't read any of the underlying evidence. You didn't dive into this any further. You just received the report, and you're good to go. Like, that's it. I guess her point was, look, it seems that you are acting as the president's private attorney, and it's sort of solidified by the fact that you didn't really open up this report at all, and you just said, yeah, he said. So this comes down to the mischaracter.
You know who they're really upset with?
Well,
really upset with Rosenstein, who has conveniently resigned.
Yes.
He's the guy that appointed Robert Mueller in the first place. He's the one that had all the access, and like this last fall was reporting and what was going on, saying that he's coming to his conclusion, and conveniently he's not going to appear.
Yeah, and that was the other issue she brought up. So there's a couple things here. The next was she had said, listen, Rosenstein is both a witness and a sort of the boss of this operation. Did he get cleared by the ethics committee to weigh in on this? To which William Barr was like, I don't know. Like, I just assumed he would be, which didn't.
Well, why wouldn't he be? He's the one that appointed the special counsel.
That's true. But as things developed, especially when it came into the whole wiretapping thing and the potential of all that, it was almost as if he should have recused himself. And I think William Barr's response was like, well, right, he should have been. And I think it's more or less an attack on his credibility for not following through to see if the ethics board had cleared him or not. The second more important thing would be Robert Mueller's letter to William Barr saying that he had mischaracterized what he said. And I think this is what rubbed people the wrong way.
Barr offered a completely different translation of because of phone calls we weren't privy to.
Which he would not provide the notes for. So it's...
Would you?
I guess it depends on what the conversation was, and that's the thing.
Let me just posit this question to you. If Barr did, I'm not ruling out that he just bold-faced lied about the phone conversations with Robert Mueller. He knows that Mueller is going to appear on Capitol Hill. Do you think he would take that risk of just... Old face. Oh, we talked about the Red Sox game.
Well, I don't think.
That's not the case.
I think there's some people that think that he's absolutely lying, and I think he's
quite a risk to take.
I was
going
to say
he's going to appear.
I think he's too smart for that. It's just that I think what people want is a very cut and dry, case closed. This is what happened. And there just seems to be, it appears that there's more devious or shady things going on. I'm not saying that there's nefarious activities or illegal activities going on.
To me, frustration in that case, if that's the feeling, ought to be directed at Robert Mueller.
So here's the thing.
For refusing to make a decision.
I think what would ultimately let this, we would put this to bed, is if William Barr showed up and he's like, look, I read the whole thing, unredacted. There's nothing I can do in a court of law that would send the president, if he could be indicted and then, you know, taken to court while he's the president, there's nothing I could do based on the evidence that Robert Mueller took good care to search for over 2 years. There was nothing I could see. Here's the, you know, maybe in a closed door hearing or to those that have the correct clearances, here it is. You can read it, and you tell me if I'm missing anything. That hasn't happened.
Let me posit this though. I think you're a wonderful person, and I think you're very sincere. Okay. But on this point, I think with all due respect, you're sincerely mistaken on one point, and that is there's nothing that is going to put this to bed, period, for either side. The president's not going to let it go, because as long as he continues to paint this as a witch hunt, and the American people, by and large, while they think that Trump may have been underhanded, they think the Democrats are taking this too far, that polling backs up that statement. You know this.
No, look.
And then on the other side, the Democrats aren't going to let this go. Nothing William Barr could come in there and say, nothing that Robert Mueller can come in there and say, or even if they got Rosenstein to talk, hell, if they got Trump to appear, it wouldn't matter, okay, if they got Bozo the Clown in there with evidence about this. Nothing is going to put this to bed, especially for the Democrats.
That's true. However, I think the maelstrom that's happening right now would be lessened. The hurricane on both, well, really one side, the Democratic side, would really be reined in, would be decreased to a category tropical storm.
If, you think so for people that are cheering on the
because at the end of the day,
that we're going to impeach the MFer before the redacted report was released.
I mean, at the end of the day, and little, to be honest with you, if let's just say in the halls of the upper echelons of conservative political strategists, right? They say, look, we've read the report. There's nothing in here that the president did that they'll ever be able to convict him in a court of law. Why would you change the narrative? You just let them go to town. Them being the Democrats, you let them go to town and make them look.
Give them all the rope they need.
More and more stupid. Just like let them go, man. Don't have Barr show up. Like just let them go crazy.
Pelosi, you're in the ultimate lose-lose.
Exactly. But so I realize that everything you're saying when I say put this to bed, that it's an upcoming presidential election and this isn't going to go away. However, because ultimately then conservatives would have to debate and Democrats would have to debate conservatives on the merits of policy as opposed to whether or not the president is a crook or not.
This is the one issue aside from the economy, the deregulations, things that people agree with. This is the one judicial issue, the one rule of law issue that the majority of the country is against the Democrats on. They think this is going too far. Okay, even though simultaneously a majority of the people feel like Trump at the very least was not honest in his answers to the special counsel, at the same time they feel like congressional Democrats are going too far. That is a winning issue for the president. They're going to hammer it home from all sides.
Yeah.
All sides are going to hammer this home.
So, I mean, when you I think what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that really popular opinion has moved on as soon as the redacted report came out, and CNN, Fox, MSNBC, etc., couldn't really find anything, even in the redacted version, that sort of, or from Bob Mueller himself, even even if he said, "Hey, look, I mischaracterized," he mischaracterized me. It doesn't mean that he didn't look at the evidence, or that Bob's saying, "Hey, or in his letter, Bob said something like, "Nah, I think the president should be indicted, and the AG made a huge mistake." All he said because was, he
included the phrase "does not exonerate" as well, and that's what he answered today when he was questioned on that phrase. He said, first of all, Robert Mueller is the one that wrote that phrase. He said, second, we're not in the business of exoneration. That's not what we do. We investigate crime. Okay, so at the end of the day, the American people may be ready to move on, but it is politically beneficial to varying degrees to keep this going for all sides. I mean, that's the reality. This is a kangaroo court that benefits everybody politically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, quite frankly, it's a re-election year. We've got some presidential hopefuls.
I think it's hazardous for the Democrats, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out, when we started this conversation maybe 20 minutes ago, I said that you and I disagreed at some point. And I think the disagreement was on how maybe Barr handled himself.
We disagree with how Barr characterized this, and we disagree to what extent that he should have or should not have. For one thing, there's a misunderstanding. I was speaking with our connect, the attorney from the Nixon White House.
Yeah.
And he said, look, and he brought this to my mind. He said, look, people need to get over the fact that some of that's never going to be unredacted because it's federal grand jury records. And folks, in any case, that never gets unsealed, bar none, period. Okay. So on that, there's nothing really that the attorney general could do about that unless we just suddenly change the law that federal grand jury investigations or their findings are revealed, in which case, what about innocent people?
Yeah.
So that's the reason that law exists, to protect the innocent.
Yeah.
You know, so it may benefit the wicked as well. But I think you and I disagree on the fact that I'm not so much sure that Barr is defending President Trump or being his personal agent as I am. I believe this man came back out of retirement. He was the attorney general under George H.W. Bush. I think he came back out of retirement because of an ideal, and that is his view of the executive branch. That he believes that, for instance, he split the hairs when it got brought in. This is a very fine hair he split, but they mentioned, I forget which member of the senator on the panel asked this question, but they mentioned, okay, well, what about the part where the president was talking about having Robert Mueller fired? He said, well, if you notice, there was no discussion of not having a special counsel. The question was, is Robert Mueller, does he have conflicts? And which, by not ending the investigation, by its very nature, there would be a new special counsel. He said, so it's within the president's purview, just as he fired the FBI director, he can fire whoever the hell he likes. It's not like there's no evidence that came up of the president saying, well, we need to get rid of the whole special counsel. That's not what he said. He wanted Mueller gone. And that's it. That is a fine hair to split, but it's technically true. But we're talking about lawyers here.
Yeah. So, yeah. And again, maybe that's where I'm more cynical. I don't disagree with you. It's like, I guess my question watching the spectacle was, why in the hell did this old guy come out of his nice, cushy government pension retirement in his penthouse somewhere in D.C. to do this, to take this job?
He's an idealist.
And it's certainly probably, most likely, is being an idealist because he's not getting extra.
Someone that he had to get bagged several times to do the job, someone by all accounts he doesn't even like.
Which is true.
I don't know. If there's another explanation, it's going to come out. We're going to find out. I'll tell you one thing we're going to find out is how good of friends he and Robert Mueller really are.
What do you think?
I will see how much, if at all, he mischaracterized Mueller's phone calls with him.
Yeah.
That's going to come out. That's where I'm wondering if is he really that dumb to boldface lie about those phone calls? But well, I have a feeling their relationship, at the very least, is a little strained right now.
I could imagine. Yeah.
He didn't miss an opportunity to throw shade at Mueller. And I'm not saying that he wasn't right to do so, because he brought up a good point. He said, look, if you feel like there was that much to indict the president on obstruction on, he could have said, you know, as well as he said, does not exonerate, he could have gone farther and said, look, this only not only does not exonerate him, but it is beholden on us as our duty to recommend the Congress remove this man from office. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
And Barr pointed that out, but It felt like there was a little bit of questioning of character going on there, I'll say. And he also called the letter written to him snitty.
Yeah,
and said, well, and then he kind of backpedaled and said, well, it's probably written by one of the staff lawyers. And it's like, I don't think that's what you meant there.
So, like, for example, here's where we are right now in the wake of this. You know, on May 2nd, Thursday, Pelosi had a press conference to which she said, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Thursday that Attorney General William Barr committed a crime when he testified before Congress. The Attorney General of the United States of America was not telling the truth to the Congress of the United States. That's a crime. Barr's come under scrutiny for telling Congress last month that he didn't know whether Special Counsel Robert Mueller supported Barr's description of the report in his summary. The Justice Department disputed Pelosi's description minutes after her comments were made. This baseless attack on the Attorney General is reckless, irresponsible, and false. Pelosi was asked again during the question and answer part of the news conference if Barr committed a crime and if he should go to jail. She said that he lied to Congress, and if anybody else did that, it would be considered a crime, but didn't directly answer if he should go to jail as a result. Barr is being criticized, and multiple Democrats have called for him to step down following the publicizing of a letter this week where Mueller expresses misgivings over how Barr characterized the findings of the special counsel report in a summary that the Attorney General released on March 24th. So on April 10th,
do you think he knew that they were referring to private correspondence, private conversations?
Well, it goes on here. On April 10th, in the back and forth between Barr and Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen, I'll put this article in the show notes for those of you, over Barr's March 24th summary, the Maryland Democrat asks Barr, did Bob Mueller support your conclusion? To which Barr said, I don't know whether Bob Mueller supported my collusion or my conclusion. My conclusion. Pelosi also said Thursday she lost sleep after watching Barr's testimony.
Who lost sleep?
Pelosi. For the Senate Judiciary
Committee. She was sleeping, trying to sleep one off?
Maybe because she didn't hit the juice. And argued Barr, Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and President Trump are handmaidens to the special interests and right-wing ideology. She also repeatedly called McConnell the grim reaper of the Senate for not taking up House bills. All right, whatever.
Sounds like a hurt feelings report to me.
Gosh, it kind of does. But anyway, I think ultimately where we can meet again after this is when Bob Mueller, and I'm sure he will soon go in front of the Senate and House Judiciary.
I don't understand why it's not going tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know why we're dragging this out.
It's like, I'm telling you, they want to. Everybody involved wants to drag this out.
And quite frankly, I think that Bob Mueller's testimony will carry more weight in terms of, well, not only ultimately, I'll be curious to see the direction this goes after Bob Mueller gives testimony.
I can't wait to see Lindsey Graham Bob Mueller.
I was going to say, I bet you can't. Oh, God. All right. Well, to be continued. On that note,
James,
as always, my friend, this is an honor and privilege to do this with you week in and week out. And I'm not going to forget the horrible images that you've given me today.
Just wait till Bob shows up.
Oh God. Someone's going to get this slight undertone that's happening here, right? Someone's going to get it, right?
Purpose has been served.
That's the real question. Whoever can pinpoint what the hell we're talking about, I can't even give it away. The horrible images, et cetera. That person will get the swag bag. So
yeah, I made a couple of references there to certain type of bars and things
All right. Enough. boy. All right. As I said, man, honor and privilege to do this with you. And until next time.
Indeed. Au revoir.
We'll see you.